The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning at the 15th verse.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hear the good news of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. The introduction. Representatives of the religious authorities have asked Jesus by what authority he has performed the many deeds in his ministry. Matthew has just told us the parable of the wedding feast. The Pharisees have seen it as an attack on them. The reading. The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality." Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought to him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of God, one undivided Trinity, loving Creator, immanent Christ, and vibrating spirit, evolutionary energy. Amen. We have been going through a series since the middle of August looking at quantum physics and its implications for us as spiritual people living in the year 2020. And some of you may ask yourselves, why is he doing that? He's just getting senile. Why is he doing this at the end of his ministry? Why are we being subjected to this? And I've said in the past, some of it is to help us talk to people who have lost their faith. People who say, "I can't believe in that God that you worship. What's going on with you?" Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a close friend. Maybe it's a younger person in your affiliated group. But there's another reason for doing this as well. And that's to have the integration of our lives. Science and religion are not at odds with each other. They are partners. And healthy people integrate all their lives. Unhealthy people have a disintegrated life. So if you have a bowl of sexual values here and another bowl of some other values, economic values there, and then a bowl of social values here, and a bowl of science values here, and another bowl over here of religious values, and you keep them all separate, that's not healthy. The role of clergy, healthy, mindful clergy, is to help everybody integrate their lives. That's been the challenge that was given to me 50 years ago, and I've tried to pursue it all the days of my life as a pastor. We have to work to integrate all aspects of our life into one strategic, alive presence. God made us as one in unity, and we are to work at unifying all our values and our mores together. And that's so important when we think about our relationships with other people, our relationships with ourselves, how we live our lives, how we connect with the environment. All of that is all a part of living in a unified way. And as new things come along, it's important to integrate that into the unified way of believing and following God. And so the Holy Spirit, I believe, led scientists at the same time as we had things happening in 1920, led scientists to start to understand particle physics. And there's a whole new chapters of physics. And it's okay to just have it out there, but it's important to integrate it into our journey with God in life as we integrate everything else, because we'll be healthier for it and we'll see things in a whole new way that's exciting and vibrant and it's releasing. Science has now helped us to understand that our very nature given to us by God is that we're energy. All of us and all things around us are all energy. And that energy comes from God. And we are looking at the integration of that idea. So last week we spent our time looking at God as understood with the focus or the window or the slide of quantum physics. And today we're going to spend our time looking at Jesus, and more particularly, the Christ. So this is the second part of this, looking at the imminent Christ in the cosmos. The first word of God, of course, as we've talked about before, happened 13.7 billion years ago. The first Bible is creation, and it's an ongoing evolutionary process since the Big Bang. It's been ever thus. And quantum finding of non-locality means that this energy of creation is everywhere at the same time. And that's, the physicists call it non-locality. Theologians have called it forever God's omnipresence. Nothing has changed. But now the physicists are catching up with the theologians. We've been sitting here for thousands of years and they're just landing in our nest and we're saying, hi, welcome, what took you so long? Progressive Christians affirm in quantum spirituality practice that we are in God and God is in us. That's that whole idea of the undivided Trinity. Because we also understand, both theologically, we've had the doctrine of Trinity since the year 300 and about 20. We're now knowing in physics that there's three distinctive elements of this whole quantum development and energy. And the first one we've talked about is the creating part of God. And as I said, we're going to focus today on the Christ. John's Gospel, and we read it every Christmas, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, starting at verse 1. That's demonstrating that Christ preceded Jesus, that before Jesus came and was born in the earth and manifested the idea of God and taught us about God, Christ was already there from the beginning. And that's knowing as the Christ of the cosmos. There's other phrases that are close to that. And Christ is not Jesus' last name. I mean, I bet you I could walk down the street, excuse me, here in Agassiz and ask, what's Jesus' last name? And almost everyone would say Christ. But the real answer, as you probably know, that he would be known as Jesus from where he was come. So his town, that he would be known by his town name. And so he wouldn't be known as Jesus Christ. Christ is not just the invention of the church, but it's a sense of the anointed one, that Christ was the anointed one. Now, God has anointed others. God has anointed Moses and Gandhi and Martin Luther King and Muhammad. They're all anointed, but none other than Jesus was put to the test, put to death, and came back in a way that the people at that time made a testimony that they'd seen him. So Christ is unique amongst the anointed, but not the only anointed. And Jesus came back and always had the message of a creating love. And that's part of what we understand through the creation. We talked about the Big Bang, that God is the Big Bang. God went into himself and out of himself, and that created the energy which created the universe. But now we're looking and putting our energy on Jesus. Jesus was anointed for all time to teach the fundamental nature and presence of a loving God. Being the Spirit of God on earth and in the universe, Christ is about promoting the unrestrained, evolving love, truth, and total universal connection to all life. Not outside of it. The imminent Christ is here with us now, today, is within us all the time. As God is in us, Christ, that power of Christ is in us. It's always with us and never parts us. We may not know it some days, but Christ is still there with us in the midst of our own daily journey. Through the resurrection, Jesus was revealed as the cosmic Christ. The cosmic Christ that was there from the beginning and is still present in the world for all people today. Not just those who acknowledge Jesus, not those just who acknowledge Christ, but all people, the cosmic Christ is present. And not just on the planet Earth, but throughout the whole of the cosmos. That's why this is known as the cosmic Christ. Now, this is not new theology. This is theology that has been around long before I was ordained. But now with quantum spirituality, it has a whole new perspective and energy and vitality, because we now can see it as well as accept it and receive it in faith. It's an energy that's present. Cosmic Christ, the incarnation of God's real presence within all living things. So it's not just in us. The cosmic Christ is in all living things, all things that share DNA. The cosmic Christ is present. But beyond just the DNA, but all things that have energy, which includes the rocks, the cosmic Christ is present. Christ is becoming incarnate continuously throughout the universe, which means that sense of the word incarnate means in a presence, present. It is not limited to earth and not just limited to confessed followers, which we are. So that understanding starts to open up a new page in our book. We in the past have made a mistake as Christians by thinking that Christ was just for Christians. And that gave us permission in our minds to do vile things. We have killed lots of people who were not Christian. That was the permission that made some of the Nazis feel that they could kill Jews in World War II, 6 million of them, because they weren't quite as good as us because they didn't have Jesus. That was their excuse, their cover. It allowed settlers here in North America to kill and disenfranchise First Nations people because they were pagans. It's allowed others throughout the centuries to do horrendous things. But that's contrary to the mission and vision of God. Christ, the cosmic Christ, is for all people. And when you hear somebody start to denigrate a Muslim, or denigrate a Jew, or denigrate a First Nations person, or denigrate a Buddhist, or a Baha'i, or whoever it is, just remember that Christ is with that person who is being prejudiced against. And try to remind, if you have the opportunity, to say, you know, my understanding of Christ is that Christ is with that person as well as with me. And just watch the reaction. We have to, we're all in this planet together. We're facing major events in our future with climate change, which we have created against the will of God. And we have to start working together as a community, or we are not going to survive. Quantum spirituality takes us all beyond the old concepts of sin, guilt, orthodoxy, and private salvation. We are more than mere bystanders on the earth. These focuses are a denial of the truth which we now know about creation and Christ's message of love. We know that we're all inside the divine matrix of God, the divine matrix that Christ taught us while he was with us on earth, that's been passed down to us through the Gospels, but there's within the new understanding of quantum spirituality, there's a new importance that we're all in this together. Tribalism has to disappear. We are a group, a community in the planet Earth and in the universe. We're all connected. Thiers de Chardin saw the cosmic Christ and understood through quantum spirituality is bringing all things together in the universe to an omega point. Remember, it says in the scripture about Christ as the Alpha and the Omega? The Omega is that final point where everything comes together. Now, that may be because we say that the star, the sun, the star that we are a part of in our solar system, will eventually burn up about 13 billion years from now. Maybe that's the omega point, but it's Christ that brings us to that. And so we're all united across the planet Earth. We are active co-creators in the universe. The divine matrix is Christ based in love for all, of which we are still a part, is a constantly evolving towards that omega point, which is what I've just said. And the other thing is that energy is transformed at the omega point and goes on creating as we're all part of the indestructible divine energy of creation. So when we die, and today we mourn for Dorothy Cresswell, her niece died. She had cancer. Kim had cancer, and she finally died with it. And her family is in grief today. But it's really, she's not gone. She's just transformed into another part of energy. And we all think about people in our lives who we grieve when we think about their death. I think about my brother. I think about my parents and others in my family who have died. But it's the end. They've just transformed to another place. And that other place is the energy that continues. And that's what we know about energy, which is kind of exciting when you think about it, that someday all of us are going to be a transformed energy. And who knows what's on the other side of that transformation? People have guessed in the past by trying to give some description of heaven. But we just know that it's some form of energy that we are moving towards. And I don't know about for you, but for me, that's exciting and gives me a sense of comfort that when I move from this experience of life, my energy, me, will move to another. There is eternal life through energy. And these are comforts and understandings that we gain because of quantum spirituality. Like I said last week about prayer, we know that prayer is a resonance and that life is the energy that makes life. God is the vibrating energy, and in prayer, our prayers join in that vibration. And again, it puts a whole new, fresh understanding and helps us in our integration of our life and faith. I pray that as we journey together, may God bless us on our journey with God. Next week, we complete our series on this. And some of you may privately think, oh, thank God. But we're going to move forward. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit, the evolving, creating energy, how we have, God is called to produce the universe and the planet through evolution. And we'll look at the implications of that for us as we follow the Lord. May God bless us all. Amen.